Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have called us here together, that you've made us brothers and sisters in your kingdom. Father, that you have given us a purpose. Father, that you have called us out of a past that we needed to leave behind. Father, that you've given us hope. Father, I pray today that you would give me the courage, the wisdom, the insight to share your word with your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What I want to share with you, and I'm not going to take a long time to do it, is very briefly tell you about my journey to become a disciple. It's a long journey. Because there's many times along the road I thought I was a Christian. And that got in the way of me reaching my final destination of following Christ the right way. You see, I grew up in the traditional Church of Christ. My family was very religious. We went to church every Sunday, twice on Sunday, as a matter of fact. And midweek, we had activities. We were very involved, and I never missed. And I enjoyed going to church. I wasn't one of those kids that had to be dragged to go. I had a good time. I was around people that I felt loved me and cared about me. And I felt like a part of a family. There were adults that reached out to me. There were adults that tried to help me, even sometimes with my homework. You know, I had good friends at church. There weren't many teens. It was a small church. There were about 60 people, primarily at the one I remember the most growing up. And what happened is that I was connected, but there was not very many teens. I think there were three. My brother was one of them. And sometimes it swelled up to five. And that was the other family and their teens. And so it wasn't like we had a huge peer group, but we really liked each other and we had a good time. You know, I wanted to do right. I wanted to be a good person. And I didn't want to go to hell. I can still remember that, as that was the way I was looking at it. The ripe old age of 13, I decided to become a Christian. You know, you're so wise at 13, right? You were just advanced for your age. I'm sure I was. But you see, I wanted to avoid doing bad things. There were even times when, as a teenager, I became very zealous towards God. I wanted to serve Him. And in fact, I started a Bible talk. And I invited these few teens together, and we had it in the preacher's home. And we tried to invite other kids from high school to come. We weren't very good at it. But I remember I wanted to do right. But I wasn't really having the support, whatever you want to call it. But bottom line is, I started, as I got older as a teen, being drawn more and more into the world. And what happened is I was involved in sports. And I had a lot of my friends in school with sports. I was very into it. And I started having success in sports. I started receiving recognition. Started being in the newspaper. I had some awards, all-conference, MVP. And I started getting really full of myself. And you know, I really wasn't a cool kid, and I wasn't popular. I do not want to share that, because, in fact, I've always been kind of a loner. And I was trying to stay over here from all that, and I ended up trying to straddle two different worlds.
Talk about it.
Church, school. And I was two people. I acted this way here, and I acted this way here. I didn't want to. But the older I got and the closer I got to graduation, I was in serious sin. My parents didn't know anything about it. I still can't believe they didn't know anything about it. I mean, really. It was kind of in their face. But they didn't say anything. They didn't challenge me. They didn't ask me how it was going. And so it came time to make up my mind to go to school, and I decided to go to the University of Georgia where my father went, and he played football. And I had in my mind that I was going to follow in his footsteps, and I was going to go down there, and I was going to get on the field, and they were going to give me a scholarship. So I went off to there, and I started in August, the ripe old age of 18, and it was brutal. There I was alone, 18 years old, gone off to college. School hasn't even started, and I had some of the biggest guys, the meanest guys, the strongest guys beating on me. And let me tell you, that was tough. I was in for a rude awakening. It seemed like it was years in that 4 weeks. It was tough. Everyone was stronger. Everyone was faster. They all had more honors and awards than I ever dreamed of. It was beyond hard. It was downright painful. Let me share with you one particular day. We had had 3-a-days, each practice in August, each practice lasting 2 hours. On a typical 3-a-day, I would lose about 11 pounds. I was 185 pounds at that time. I wish I was the weight then I am now. That would have been really good back then. But anyway, I was beat up. And I come back to my dorm room, and I get on the phone, and I call my folks. And I have tears running down my face because I want to quit. It was so stinking hard. I was like, how? I am trapped here in Georgia. What in the world am I going to do? And my father answers the phone. And he is so excited. And he is just so certain I'm doing great. He is just so certain that I'm tearing it up. And I wanted to tell him I wanted to quit. So I sucked up my pride, and I didn't say what was really going on. You know, I went to the local church. I tried to fit in. I was still very religious and going to church. I didn't know any students there. In fact, there weren't any there yet. I didn't have any friends. I got very lonely. As you can imagine, this is a very emotional time. I so badly wanted to fit in somewhere, so I started to fit in the wrong ways. I started doing what all the other guys were doing. And let me tell you, football players, despite all that Fellowship of Christian Athletes stuff, they're a rough crew a lot of times. I'll spare you the dirty details, but I went against the upbringing I had and my conscience, and I lived a double life, not so double anymore. As I look back, I realized I had loved being religious. My religious upbringing gave me a community. I had a relationship with God through my parents. Religion made me feel comfortable and secure. I wasn't lonely. I was with family. But unfortunately, religious upbringing can give you the illusion that you have a relationship with God. Even though I've been religious, I still didn't know God. I didn't understand the cross, and I didn't know how to follow Christ. It took me getting to a very bad place, even worse than what I've already described, for me to long for something different, something that was real. Turn to Galatians 2, verse 19. I'll be reading to you from the Holman version. This is a very brief verse. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. This is Paul speaking again. For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me. And I don't know which one I should choose. I am pressured by both. I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your advancement and joy in the faith, so that because of me, your confidence may grow in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Continue to listen to Paul's description of his relationship with Jesus. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. And we'll begin in verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider them loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, whose for sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. What is Paul saying in these verses? Paul is sharing that he had been religious. Think about it. He said, you want to have confidence? I should be confident. Look at all I've been, all I am. I'm a leader. I've been a leader of my people. I'm smart. I'm educated. I'm doing all the correct things for my society. He had everything going for him. But he says now he considered them all worth nothing. That it was garbage, that it was filth to him. Next to knowing Jesus Christ. So how can a religious guy say that? I was religious, but I didn't know Christ. Think about that. In verse 10, he says, my goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. In verse 12, he tells us he hasn't achieved his goal, but he's making every effort towards it. He said he forgets what's gone on behind, what's happened behind. He isn't looking back, he's looking ahead. He's straining, he's reaching, he's pursuing his goal. That doesn't sound like a religious person, does it? His goal and prize is eternal life. Here is a man saying that he no longer lives, but it's Christ living in him. What an amazing statement. Here is a man who says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's better if I die and be with Christ, as I'm so convinced of it. Being religious is useless. You can go to church every Sunday, you can sing the songs, you can learn some Bible knowledge, and ultimately you can end up like all those people that stayed at home and watching the game. Instead of being religious, we must truly become followers of Christ. We must be his disciples. I don't know about you, but I wanted to live a powerful life. It wasn't my intent to become religious. It's what I knew. I want to live my life to the full. I want to hold on to the truth. I want to have convictions. I want my life to have purpose and meaning, don't you? I spent enough years living as a hypocrite. I want to change and be different. I want to live an extraordinary life. What kind of life do you want to live? Living an extraordinary life will never come about by living like everyone else. It will only happen by coming to know Christ. It will only happen when you understand the power of the cross, the forgiveness of your sins, and the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. I want you to think back to the reason why you originally decided to follow Jesus. If you've already made that decision. Didn't you want a different life? Weren't you sick of how you were living? You didn't want to be religious. In fact, you disdained it. That's probably why you refused to go to church with your friends that invited you. You're like, yuck, enough of that. Anytime someone's inviting me to Bible study, I pretended like I wasn't there in my dorm room. I didn't want none of that. Were you wanting to be religious or were you looking for something more? I was tired of the emptiness. I tell my family, it was a black time. What comes to mind when I wasn't a disciple was it was black. When you go against what you've been trained to do, what you know is right, when you step on your conscience and you keep doing it, and then you decide you want to change and you can't, you're trapped. And you just feel absolutely enslaved. And you can't stop doing what you're doing, but you want it to be different. Do you now want to slip comfortably back into your old way of living? Do you now want to live like everybody else? Turn to Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This passage is telling us that in response to the grace and mercy of God, we should offer to Him ourselves as living sacrifices. That we should be holy. We are to give ourselves up. We are no longer to follow our own desires, but live our lives to please God. And then He tells us how. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Well, what does that mean? What is the pattern of this world? You know, I was thinking about that, and you could go a lot of different directions. But to me, the pattern in this world is which each individual person is acting like they're their own little God. What do I mean by that? Each person is focused on their individual pursuit of happiness. And their personal happiness guides their decision making. And so if it makes me happy to do something, it doesn't really matter if it hurts you. That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Does that make sense? Each person doing what they feel. That's why marriages fail. There's greed, selfishness, materialism. It's all coming from this pursuit of what I want. I'm trying to find something that will make me happy. There's so much violence, sensuality, immorality, perversion. But have you noticed no one can say anything's wrong? Because if I say you're wrong, then it reveals everyone, doesn't it? We have to protect each other doing what they do because I'm doing things I know I shouldn't do. Maybe that's not making sense to you. It does to me. Instead, we are told by God we need to be different. That we should stand out. We can't fit any longer into the pattern of this world. We cannot be conformed and squeezed into the same box. We are supposed to be nonconformists. We are not going to think about money the same way everyone else does. We are not going to have marriages the same way everyone does. We are not going to raise our kids like everyone else does. We're not just going to go by how we feel. We can't just give in to our desires. We can't blend in. God tells us we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. What does transform mean? It literally means to make a thorough or dramatic change in form, appearance, or character. Listen to some of the synonyms for transform: change, alter, morph, mutate. That doesn't sound like something that's easygoing. That's radical stuff. You see, we came at some point when we decided to become a disciple of Jesus to believe that He is the Son of God. We came to understand from the Bible that we had been living as enemies, that we had been rebelling against Him, and we deserve to be punished for that. We learned that God sent His own Son to make atonement for those sins, and that He enabled us through His grace to have a relationship with Him and be given the chance to have eternal life. As we began to have faith in God and believe in Him, we decided to repent, which literally means that we had a mind change. We changed the way that we were thinking. We changed what was important to us, and we decided we were going to do different. We were baptized. By being baptized, we put our old life to death. And our sins were washed away. In baptism, we were buried with Christ and we shared in His death. We left our old lives behind, crucified with Christ. We shared in His resurrection by becoming a new creation when we came up out of the waters of baptism. And we received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ living in us. That's when we started on the path of transformation. He is our goal. He is our model. So think of it this way. When someone is baptized and starts following Christ, we say they are a baby Christian, don't we? Because a spiritual baby, in a sense, has just been born. What is a baby supposed to do? Grow! Yes! They don't do nothing but eat and sleep because they're doing their job, which is to grow! Wouldn't you be concerned if your baby didn't grow? Can you imagine you have a baby and you come, 12 months go by, and your baby's the same weight and size? You'd be horrified. You'd be terrified. You'd be going to specialists. You'd be so concerned. All right? Wouldn't you be concerned that you have a middle schooler? He gets to this point and then he stops and there's no more maturing? No more changes in the way of thinking? That would be a scary thought. Wouldn't you be alarmed? Of course, it's the same for us. That's right. We are meant to transform. Amen. We are meant to grow up, to change. Are you transforming? Are you still changing? Or are we headed towards being religious? Are we slipping back into the comfort of conforming to the pattern of this world? Let me ask you. If someone is supposed to be a living sacrifice and sets down and starts proceeding down that road of transformation, can you remain a spiritual baby? Can you stop growing? Can you stop changing? Of course not. Our transformation began when we decided to follow Jesus, and we cannot stop. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. These are very fast. Just listen to me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. That's what's happened. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We set out on a journey to follow Jesus. We seek to become like Him. That takes us being in the Scriptures and learning what pleases God. It takes prayer to change, to stay focused on what is spiritual. And we can't remain with baby scriptures. And we can't remain with baby prayers. I can honestly say today that I am more like Jesus than when I began my journey. And as I look back, if I met the man who first started that journey, I wouldn't like him. I'm just being real. I probably wouldn't like that guy. You know why? Because it takes me not liking where I'm at to transform and change my mind. How do you transform? You stay in the Word of God. You read it. You study it. In the Bible, you see something, you try and imitate it. You try and put it into practice. You look at the character of Christ and go, am I like that? Am I progressing towards that? You pray about it. If there's something you're doing wrong, you decide to stop. You see there's something to start doing, you do it. That's transformation. If I live my life according to God's plan, I will reflect the image of God more with each passing month and year. I will reflect His glory to others more and more. But let's be real. It seems so hard. Sometimes it seems I'm making no progress at all. I mean, to me, there are times when I feel like I'm trying and nothing's changing. And I get frustrated. And I hear other people saying, you're not changing. I wish you would change this. It hurts me when you do that. And you go, I want to. Inside, you're frustrated. Guys, when we became disciples, we started right here. And then I made some big gains. And then I had to work my thinking about myself and what's right. Start moving. My goal is Jesus. And so I start lining myself up. And I start going, oh, I want to step back. Lean in. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to get there until I'm in heaven. But I'm straining to get there. I want to be like Jesus. The Scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, and as I get older, I feel that way sometimes. I'm tired. I get tired more easily. Things are hard. I feel like I'm wearing out. Inwardly, I'm being renewed day by day. In Colossians 3, verse 10, we've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. We keep on transforming.
That's right.
We keep on changing. Now, I want you to imagine the whole church doing this together. We're all right here. Now, some of you started that journey before I did. And you're here. And some of you just started the journey. Guess what? We can encourage those who hadn't made it that far yet. We can say, you can do it. Look, I'm nothing special. I got here. Come on. But I want you to imagine everyone together. How encouraging is that? You don't want to be religious where everyone's just here. And they're not going anywhere. They're not changing anything. They're not reflecting the glory of God in increasing measure. You see, we all have the same goal. We all have similar struggles. But we listen and read the same scriptures. Listen to Ephesians 4:13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We help each other. We encourage each other to not give up. Like speaking Ephesians 4:15 to someone. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. We remind each other of verses like Ephesians 4:23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And then we think of Philippians 2:15. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. That sounds incredible. I don't want to be religious. I want to know Christ. Don't you? I want to have a transformative life where I'm able to change and be like Him. Remember what Paul said? Not that I have already attained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. Be a transformer. Amen.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for allowing Steve to just bring us such a great and powerful message today, God. We pray that we will take these words that he spoke today, God, and we will just apply them to our lives, God. Help us to not be conformers, but help us to transform and forever be changing to be more like your Son, Jesus. God, we thank you so much for the things that you've done for us, for giving us your Son so that we can have a relationship with you, God. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.